welcome. Open your hearts to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Amen. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. So I believe shofar is a powerful, you know, prophetic convocation that heaven is speaking and communicating his mind, the mind of God, the intent of God for the hour, you know, to us as a community and to the body of Christ at large. Praise God. Let us pray. Father Lord, we exalt you. We reverence you. Lord, we ask that you will. We know you are already in absolute control. Lord, that you continue to do your thing. And that you will be glorified in our heart. And you will be glorified in our lives. That you will be glorified in our midst. That Christ Jesus will reign supreme. And that the name of the Father will be exalted. Lord, Holy Spirit, I submit myself under your leadership. And I ask that you would take absolute control. Lord, we've said so much about, you know, how heaven has helped us to hold the torch. It's got nothing to do with our own ability and competence. It's your mercy. We are being kept by your power. And Lord, we need more of you. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your spirit. That you will have your way. And that you will speak your word in season. Use me as your mouthpiece. Use me as a pen of a ready writer. And that you will move, Holy Spirit of God. That once again you will open the portals of heaven. And that you will breathe upon your children. Every single one of your children present in house. And as many people that may be watching and listening via the technology. May we never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. So without a doubt, the burden the Lord has laid in our heart is about becoming the Lamb's bride. That's why it's becoming the Lamb's bride. Let me have us read from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 6 to 8. Hallelujah. So Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 to 9 to 8. I think we could read it up to 10. Is that okay? So the Bible says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, as a sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. Excuse me. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Hallelujah. Let someone say, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Reigneth. Amen. Okay, let me read from KJV. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Verse 8. And the Bible says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And it saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. And that is what the shofar is about. The shofar is about having our spiritual space, both internal and outwardly. I'm talking about our corporate embrace, saturated with the spirit of prophecy. And that's what God wants to do with us. God wants a situation whereby our children can prophesy. Amen. You get what I'm saying? They can prophesy. When our children are waking in the middle of the night, they prophesy. God wants to say their dreams are not normal dreams. Our children can invoke prophetic inspiration. They can bring forth new sound. That's the will of God for our children. God wants our children to be able to communicate the mind of God, the outcry of heaven, to be able to decipher burdens. Hallelujah. Every one of us, male, female, from head to toe, every organ of the body, every cell of the body, God wants everybody to carry the prophetic, everybody to exemplify the prophetic, everybody to interface with the prophetic. You know, without the prophetic, we can't actually foster deep intimacy with God. We need the prophetic to access the realm of the spirit. We need the prophetic to touch heaven. We need the prophetic to carry the dimension of God for our generation. The spirit, we all must be daily inundated in the spirit of prophecy. But one important thing we need the prophetic for, we need the prophetic to midwife the testimony of Jesus. We need the prophetic to midwife and to witness to the testimony of Jesus. Our survivor hinges on the testimony of Jesus. That's why I say the testimony of Jesus. You know where the testimony of Jesus starts from? It starts from his body. That's where the testimony of Jesus starts from. The testimony of Jesus starts from his body. The testimony of Jesus is like saying the frequency by which Christ Jesus operates, by which divinity functions. Is heaven plugging us to that frequency? So our thought pattern is no longer natural. Our thought pattern is now Christ-like. Praise God. Our conversation is now what? Christ-like. So what that suggests to me is that without the opening of heaven's portal, we cannot receive the testimony of Jesus. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yes. Without the unlocking of the portals of heaven, we cannot receive the testimony of Jesus. You see, the key that unlocks illumination is the spirit of prophecy. There is revelatory illumination that comes by the Holy Spirit opening the eyes of our understanding. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. But there is the prophetic illumination by which the same Holy Spirit operating through the spirit of prophecy, opening the eyes of our understanding. If the eyes of our perception is not open, we cannot see the King high and lifted up. And if you cannot see the King, we can't see his purpose. If we cannot see his purpose, we cannot approach the battle that lies ahead from God's own field, battlefield. Praise God. So we need the spirit of prophecy. And we are being inundated in the spirit of prophecy so that we can birth the testimony of Jesus. So that the testimony of Jesus can dictate our pathways, our journey, our process. You see, testimony has to do with what you live and die for. The whole essence of testimony is, the word testimony is taken from the word material, which means matador. So the more we receive the testimony of Jesus, the more we die. We die to this world. We die to the law by which this realm is constituted. We die to the pride of life. We die to lust. If we can receive the testimony of Jesus, if we can internalize the testimony of Jesus, praise God. So these angels operated by the spirit of prophecy, and he brought to John for John to deliver to the body the testimony of Jesus. Now, this John, we know when you read from Genesis, from Revelation 1, John met different angels. But this angel is different. The prophetic and apostolic that is these angels activated was intense. That John, because of the awe and the intensity, bowed down. And he stopped him. Of your fellow servant, the prophet, and of your brethren, we share the same body. We're given the same mandate, which is what he has been sent to deliver to the body. So when you look at the message he brought to the body, it was intense. The first thing we see about the message he brought to the body was the announcement of that message. Or let me put it this way. What he brought to the body regarding the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, it was, we can accurately tag it the announcement. This is the announcement. That was the reason why heaven backed it up. You know, I'm talking about heaven backed it up with enormous authority and splendor. The majesty with which the heaven backed up this announcement. So we can rightly call it the announcement. So when he brought this announcement, what he brought was an apostolic and prophetic body. What he brought was an apostolic program of heaven. It was heaven's foremost prophetic intent. So, and the Bible says, well, he came, what John heard was like the voice of multitude. What he heard was a sound of many waters. What he heard was like a sound of mighty thunderings. So that announcement came with enormous majesty and authority, which was intent to validate the immensity of the message. I'll say that again. The reason for this authority and this splendor and this glory was to validate the immensity of the message. It was to bear witness to the gravity and urgency of the promise. The promise the Lord came to deliver to the church. And it was the marriage of the Lamb to his bride. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me just bring out one or two things. The word lamb, from the original usage of word, is the word anion. And it simply means little or tender lamb. Little or tender lamb. It's a description of the core nature of the Lord. So you need to know the one to be married to. That now gives you an idea of who is going to be joined to him. So if he is tender, meek, humble, definitely the wife cannot be unruly. So what a lot of our men of God are saying, if it is this present contemporary church we want to present to the Lord, then how do you work out the connection? How do you work out what there's a word we normally use, the compatibility? How do you join darkness to light? So we have the Lord, whose core nature, his core value of description, is that he's tender, he's meek, he's humble. Then you now want a wife for him that is unruly, arrogant, cocky, full of herself. Doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
It doesn't work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then when the scripture used the word his wife has made herself ready. The word wife here is taken from the word gune. That's the Greek word gune. It means a betrothed virgin partner. A virgin partner that is betrothed. So what that means is that she is a virgin.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
She is non-compromised. The wife of the Lamb, the bride, must be non-compromised. Hallelujah. She has not been assaulted by ego. She's not assaulted by the world. She has not joined herself to the system of this life. Her allegiance is reserved for the Lamb alone. So that's the wife. Then another key word is what the marriage. So the marriage of the Lamb. The word marriage is taken from the root word gamos. And the word gamos means is a grand wedding banquet. It's something that is lavish. It's what you have the king, you know, a major emperor. Bring in like Esther, bring in entourage, bring in tides, his allies from different continents and nations and empires. So it's something grand. It's something that will be globally witnessed. It's something that will be garnished with his glory, his magnificence. It will be the center of kingdom attention. So everything about God is gravitating towards this. The banquet. Hallelujah. So the bride of Christ, simply, put a little straightforward definition. I said the bride of Christ is a chaste spouse, betrothed to him in the spirit. You know, the word betrothed is an old word that, but nowadays we will use the word engaged. So when someone is engaged to someone, that's not the same as is a boyfriend. They're not just a boyfriend and girlfriend. It's not my babe that they're just dating. It's not a date. There's something in view. They have looked at each other. The guy has looked at her and looked at me. This is her I've been looking for. This is someone that will give me permanent peace of mind. This is a life that can serve as a hub where my destiny will find expression. So it is then, you then now say, yes, I'm giving a ring. Not the wedding ring, as a symbol. I'm declaring my intent, my intention. So the bride of Christ is the chaste spouse, betrothed to him in the spirit, in binding covenant promise of marriage. Betrothed to him in the spirit, in binding covenant promise of marriage, with the ultimate aim of consummation. The ultimate aim. Now, all this definition is based on checking the root meaning of specific word, just to save us time of having to break down too many. So the ultimate aim is consummation. When you check in Greek, when Paul was talking about the fact that I betrothed to you, when you check the meaning of betrothed, is a word actually to declare an intention in a binding covenant promise of marriage, but without adding consummation, without yet consummating the relationship. Because the end point is the consummation of the relationship. The end point is that we will carry his seed. Yeah. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. That's the end point. We will carry his seed. So, the announcement came with that level of intensity and glory, because heaven needed to validate the immensity of the message. Heaven needed to bear witness to the gravity and urgency of the promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, one thing we must understand is that the marriage of the Lamb is actually what I will refer to as the crescendo or culmination. The marriage of the Lamb encapsulates the crescendo and culmination of the unveiling of the kingdom. You see, the church needs to understand something about the revolution of the kingdom. Each season, the kingdom, or should I say, each season that heaven declares upon the earth, and at each point of God's process, of God dealing with the church, a measure of, let me put it this way, a dimension of the kingdom is revealed. Every time the Lord sends an emphasis and the church responds appropriately, another dimension of the kingdom is unveiled. So this particular testimony of Jesus, the marriage of the Lamb, encapsulates the crescendo, the culmination, the summit of kingdom revolution in the earth. Hallelujah. So you see, when the announcement is being made, when the angels was declaring what is foremost in the budding of the Father's heart, he used a word. He said, what has happened now is that the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. You see, all along, the Lord God omnipotent was yet to reign. God has been doing a whole lot, but the Lord God, you know what omnipotent means? It means the absolute and universal sovereign. The one who is the absolute and is the universal sovereign. When the scripture used the word reigning to just make it easy, it means, it's taken from the word basilio. And the word basilio is like, say, it means enforcing the kingdom. So the sovereign and the one who is absolute, it has come to a point. The center stage is set. He is coming on one intent, one agenda, to enforce the kingdom. It is amazing. When the church is ready for the marriage of the Lamb, the kingdom will be fully enforced. Amen. The kingdom of God will be fully enforced. I said something about the revolution of the kingdom. Every dealing of God in every unfolding generation, every kairos that is orchestrated in the spirit is followed by a unique revolution of the kingdom. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let me say this to bring it down to the basics. The revolution of the kingdom of God in the earth is in phases and dimensions. We've said there is the onset or the commencement or the inception of the revolution of the kingdom. There is what? The onset or the commencement. Now, when I say the onset or the commencement, don't get me wrong. When the Lord Jesus said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. The kingdom is not automatic to the new birth. That the fact that I am born again, I now enter the kingdom. It doesn't work like that. So it's about the posture of the heart. It's about the placement before God. Isn't that so?
Yes, sir.
It's not man that determines it. But the word of God can give us, you know, that's what the word of God is. It's light. Yeah. It can give us clarity of judgment. That we can literally trace our journey. We can trace the progression of our journey. So the point is this. When all about our relationship with God is what we can benefit from the power of the cross, we're still at the outer court. When all about our faith in God is to seek the hand of God, we're still at the outer court. That doesn't mean that we're not good enough. It just means that is where we are in the placement of heaven's agenda. That suggests to me, if somebody will enter into the court of God, at least the person must develop and nurture a heart cry to understand the ways of God.
Yeah.
You remember the Bible tells us about Moses and the children of Israel. The children of Israel, what do they have? The act of God. But what made Moses different? He knew the ways of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That suggests to me that until we begin to have divine intercourse with God, we actually have not even entered the court of God. Praise God. So when we talk about the onset of the kingdom, I'm talking about people who have entered the court. Praise God. We are growing in the spirit. We're growing in being born of the Spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, we can see the baseline when we talk about the kingdom. And it is anchored on certain biblical truth and emphasis of the Spirit. Now, when we take it further, then if it is true regarding the onset and the inception of the unveiling and revolution of the kingdom, then it must be true that there is the climax, there is the summit, there is a consummation of kingdom revolution in the earth. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Without a doubt, that is also anchored on certain biblical truth and emphasis of the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks to us about in Acts chapter 3 verse 21 that heaven will hold Jesus or withhold him until the time of what? Restitution of all things. Another transition used the word consummation of all things. So which means there is all things that exist in the reckoning of heaven's Kairos. It will now be reconciled with the all things by which our reality is defined here. Praise God. What I'm saying in essence is that it is the bridehood of Christ, of the church rather. I'll say that the bridehood of the church and our union with the Lord, our fidelity to the Lamb. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That is the critical emphasis that will prepare the church for the glorious advent of the final hour. Praise God. So it is you and I becoming the Lamb's bride that will orchestrate radical unveiling of the kingdom in the earth. It is you and I becoming the Lamb's bride that will trigger the consummation of all things and finalize the kairosis in our time. So this is very, very crucial to the Father's heart. So what that means is that the preparation of the bride means so much to heaven. The preparation of the bride. You see, when you look at the church at large, the church has made a lot of progress. But the body of Christ, this ancient wisdom, that sometimes you look at the body of Christ takes two steps forward. But when you look at the church from another perspective, you say take three steps backward. Praise God. Let me give us a sad one. If you look at the general assessment of things in the body, I want to assure you, if you compare the body in the 70s and in the 80s, the body in the 70s and 80s, even though we were not as glamorous, we were more preoccupied with the readiness of the bride than we are now.
Oh God, Lord have mercy.
God have mercy. When Pastor D was speaking, I was excited on one hand, I was sad on another hand. The reason is because I could relate. What Pastor Dimitri was saying resonated with me. Because recently, I tried to look at things. How would I describe what is new God is doing? Yes. I used to call it common sense gospel. No, that thing is raining.
Kai, raining, man.
That's someone raining. Just stand and say,
Kai.
See, as a man, you must be manly. If you are not manly, you goofed. You will miss it. You will lose the respect for your wife and respect for your children. If you are not manly, you must be able to hold your own. Let everybody heat before you heat. And then before you know it that 20,000 trends. When you are doing business, don't spend all your money. You don't use your 10 hands to eat. and it's raining. So, and people understand that. So people key into that. You know, things are always changing. There was a time it was motivational.
Yes,
I think motivational is fading. Anybody that is doing motivation, he came late. I was telling one of my sons in the UA, he said, Pastor, this is what I was discussing. In fact, we had a group, we prayed for the church. You know, they now had a group chat over it. But one of his friends said, Kei Kogbo? Is it? Fei Kogbo? Is what his friend. Sorry if you don't understand your Yoruba. He said, that's exactly what it is. Oh God, praise God. But we are not discouraged. Because the Lord Jesus has shown us the end So no matter the turn and the twist, we know where it will end.
Amen.
The church is emerging as an army.
Amen.
The bride of Christ that is chaste will be made fully ready.
Amen.
And that is what City Gate Church stands for.
Amen.
To pave the way and spearhead the highway that would take the body of Christ to Zion.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's why I am convinced the Lord is elevating your authority.
Amen.
That is why I am convinced heaven is giving, is emboldening your voice.
Amen.
Because you are a ministry that sounds the alarm. You are a ministry that blows the trumpet. How will the people or the army, the military, prepare for war when the trumpeting is uncertain? The Lord has given you a word. He has given you divine counsel. He has given you the verdict to make declaration, praise God, of the outcry of heaven. And people in their homes, people in their schools, people even in their covens of discouragement and personal frustration, we hear the sound of the trumpeting.
Amen.
And something, hunger and thirst after righteousness will be awakening in their soul.
Amen.
There is coming a revolt in the body of Christ. There is coming a revolt in this generation. It's going to be a revolt of righteousness.
Amen.
Where people will say, give us Christ.
Amen.
Give us the word.
Amen.
What we need is what is authentic. What we need is what is pure. What is need is what is genuine. We don't want fallacy anymore.
Amen.
We are done with lies. We are done with playing church. It is time to embark on the journey. It is time. That time is coming.
Yes, sir.
And that's why the Lord is saying, keep at it.
Yes.
Keep at it building. Keep at it cultivating. Keep at it being committed to see people's life change. Keep at it proclaiming the outcry of God and the mind of God. A time and a season of reckoning is coming. When the Lord will set apart the nation of goats to the left and the nation of sheep to the right. It will be a time of sifting, a time of reckoning. It will be a time of judgment.
Amen.
And it will be a time of vindication.
Amen.
That time is fast approaching.
Amen.
And so that's why the Lord, one of the reasons for so far is to strengthen your hand.
Amen.
Your hand must be kept strong at the battle. And you fight for the Lord, advancing the purposes of God, advancing the will of God.
Amen.
Do not waver to the left. Do not waver to the right.
Amen.
Keep your view in focus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The emphasis of heaven in this time is the adorning of the bride.
Amen.
The adorning of the bride. The Lord wants to dress up the bride with purple linen. Dress up the bride with the garment that is bright, white, righteous garment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It has everything to do with radical shift of people's, of God's children, their perception, radical shift of their belief system. Praise God.
Amen.
Through the clarity of the knowledge of God's will.
Amen.
It has everything to do with internal adjustment.
Yeah.
God changing people inside out.
Amen.
It has everything to do with the installation of core values of the kingdom, by which the Lamb himself is exemplified.
Amen.
It has everything to do with formation of character.
Yeah.
Praise God. It has everything to do with the setting apart of the bride. Consecration of the bride. Hallelujah. That is what the Lord is up to. Let's look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, I read from 12 to 17. Here the Bible says, "And behold, I am coming quickly." See, the Lord Jesus says he's coming quickly. And he's still been coming since.
Almost 3,000 years.
Is that quickly? It's amazing. Now, you must understand the pedigree of the one that says he's coming quickly.
Yes, sir.
If you say a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years, it's less than 3 days. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. I give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." One said that is the beginning, is the end, is everything in between. Praise God. He said, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." I love that. "That they may have the right to the tree of life." I love that. "That they may enter through the gates into the city." Wow. "And outside," but the outside are dogs. KJV say, "For without are dogs." There's a place called without. There's a place called outside. There's a place called outer court. Dogs, sorcerers, warmongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loveth and maketh lie. 17. You must understand all this arrangement first. 16. "I, Jesus," now the Lord Jesus speaking, "this angel came speaking with the authority of Christ himself. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify." This is scary. So this strikes me like this is, if I may use the word, this is the Lord speaking through his angel in his authority. "I've sent my angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root." You see, the Lord is still sending his angel. The word angels here means it's messengers. I am speaking as his apostolic angels. Jesus has sent me. "I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star." Verse 17. This is where everything is gravitating to. "And the spirit and the bride." All of these will happen first and fade away. Then the spirit and the bride will say, "Come." You remember what the Lord Jesus said? The Lord Jesus started with, "I come quickly." Now, you now see what has put the wedge on the quick coming. Even though he said, "I come quickly." Do you know the coming of the Lord is a promise?
Yes.
There are many promises of God to the church. It's one of those promises that is said to be sovereign promise of God. You can't stop it. Whether you obey God or not, it will still come. Now, but the Bible tells us that we are expected to hasten the coming. A generation will be required to hasten the coming of the Lord. So if God gives us the authority to hasten his coming, that means we can as well delay it. So we now can see the condition. The spirit has been saying, "Come." The spirit had been saying, come. But the point is that, is the bride yet saying, come? Have you heard of this kind of statement before? The marriage. No, I'm not ready to marry. I still want to enjoy the world. I want to enjoy life. The bride is saying, I want to enjoy life. They are ignorant. But say, I want to enjoy life. You know, in those days, as an unbeliever, because of the example the church has shown, you count the cost before you give your life to Christ. Am I ready to give up all those girlfriends? Am I ready to give up cigarette, even though it's ignorant? Because you don't actually need to give up anything. You just need to recognize that you are a sinner and make a decision. I think I am done with sin. Sin, nature. God, Christ Jesus, saved me. So the guy looks at it. So I will not be smoking cigarette. No alcohol. All those, my friend, that we hang out together. You know, of course, the kind of gist I know. God will have to change them too. Lord, I am not yet ready. But nowadays, that's not the impression people, even as inaccurate as that was, the impression people have is different now. The impression people have is that born again, the image they have about born again is, okay, born again, God will solve my problem. God will give me prosperity. When I sin, grace can cover it. That's what born again is actually more attractive now than then. So the guy is now born again so that grace can be covering all sort of atrocities. But when you now discover from God's word, God is now saying, what? Give up what? This is not the deal. The bargain for born again is that grace will cover atrocity. You are not saying, what's this now? Give up idols? What? Consecration? This is not the bargain. This is not what I understood your church or your children are presenting. The deal here is that I give my life to Christ, grace covers it all. Praise God. So the bride wants to enjoy life. The bride is not saying come. He said, let him that heareth say come. Let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is so powerful. Hallelujah. This is so powerful. So when we're dealing with the consummation of all things, when we're dealing with the coming of the Lord, you know, I suppose the word, the coming of the Lord, which the church is mostly used to, is what, parousia, which is, parousia is the coming of the Lord as an ongoing finality. Now, this word is a little bit different, but it's unique to it, almost saying the same thing. It's the word akomia. Akomia. And the word akomia means appearing of the Lord. Or appearance of the Lord. It means sudden revelation of the Lord. Sudden revelation. The Lord just revealed himself, burst forth. So the concept of sudden revelation is almost close to epiphany. Praise God. So what means that? There has to be a build up. Somebody will have to trigger something, and then the Lord will show forth. Praise God. So that's the That's the word used here as the Lord's appearing. But the long and short of it is that the church must come to that place of embrace. That place where we cherish the burden of his coming.
Amen.
The problem with the present church is that the present church does not cherish the burden of the Lord's appearing. When we cherish the burden of his appearing, we would line up with his timeline. We will what? Automatically line up with his schedule. We are not the one that set it. You get it? We don't set the timeline. All we need is response. As long as our response is pure, is terrible, is lacking, we are not lining up with heaven's timeline. As long as there is no desire, there is no longing for the coming of the Lord, what do you preach in our church? Oh, Pastor Dancy, good to see you. What do you preach in our church? How to make it? How to make it quickly? No, sorry, not how to make it. How to make it quickly? That's what we preach. What do we preach in our church? Prosperity anyhow. Yeah. Prosperity without process. That's what we preach. What do we preach in our church? There was a particular year, something bad happened. Some scandal broke up about a man of God I've never heard of. But the man of God is everywhere. In fact, the scandal has now made him popular and acceptable. So when I went to check the website of the media, I checked the message he preached that Sunday. It was no more crumbs. No more crumbs. The Sunday before, I saw the engineering of money. The Sunday before, I saw the making of money. So I now felt that people should not be surprised that there are scandals, and they beat the scandal. Yeah, oh, because they have the strategies. They said they taught, they teach them. They probably employ people to do that.
Wow.
So they had now public people who can do public laundering of imagery. They have what do you call it? Those podcasters that when somebody is speaking scandalous experiences and activities, so when that one are speaking their own, so the whole thing is mixing between a country lead, you know, and all that. And at the end of the day, the only thing that will happen is that the popularity of the man of God grows more. It's become more popular, it's become more known. The only thing that those kind of things do is that we become a joke before the world. The church is not being taken seriously. So what do you see out there on social media? Once you say pastor, pastor is a symbol of fraud. Scam. I say those pastors. That they have there in the world. I say Christians or churchgoers. They now symbolize people without brain. Who are brainless, mumu people. Where their pastors are sleeping with all the ladies. And that is what is generally believed in the world. Unfortunately, because that is what some people present, not only portray, after they are being caught in the act, they set out strategy to normalize it. So the image of the church has been completely wrecked. It's mad. This age is mad. That's the body of Christ. That is sad. But the Lord encouraged me recently. He said, why are you worried? It pained me when I hear people talk about, Christian, na mumu people. It's mumu people that go to church. And these people, many of these people in the heart of their heart, they know they're lying. They know God is real. They know the truth is true. And the Lord said to me that, don't be so worried. He said to me, do you believe that the true light exists? I said, I do. I said to the Lord, I don't believe I know. Because by the grace of God, I have not, grace has held me not to waver to the right, to the left, year in, year out, decade after decades. And I know a remnant, yes, who have kept the course. Yes, and the Lord said to me, the future is yours. Amen. He said to me, you know, when it gets dark and dark and extremely obscure, light should not be worried. Light should not bother about the intensity of darkness, the gloom, because obscurity is an opportunity for light. And that's the reason why you don't get discouraged. You don't get despaired. You don't become despondent. You don't cast out of your confidence and your conviction of faith by all the scandals and atrocities you see, because they will fade away. Amen. At the end of it all, light will prevail. Amen. Truth will thrive. Amen. At the end of it all. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in this time when the Lord is strengthening the church to to embrace the budding of his appearing. It may not sound popular, the appearing of the Lord, the preparation of the bride. All of that may not sound popular, but embrace it. Pray it daily. Cherish it. And as you do, you know what's going to happen? That's what the Lord said. What will happen is that the Lord will come on scene as the God of justice. And that's what's going to settle it. He will show up as the God of divine vindication. You know, that's what the word of God says. He said he's coming with what? Reward within. And give to everyone according to his or her work. He will be known as the God of justice. He would be known as the God of vindication. The Holy Spirit has shown me, and I want to re-echo that here, that ultimately, truth, God will endorse the truth. Ultimately, heaven will compensate righteousness. So don't be weary. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and be courageous. Because the unfolding season ahead of us, as we embrace the burden of his appearing, righteousness will be compensated. And truth will be endorsed by heaven. Don't waver to the right and to the left. Yes, sir. keep your focus and your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. So the scripture describes him as the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. You know what that simply means? He's the initiator of the process. What process? The process of preparation of the bride. So as you enter the court of God, the process has begun. It's a function of the heart. Hallelujah. He sets the church on a course. He sets us on a journey. He's daily laying the foundation for that which is yet to come. Praise God. But not only is he the initiator, he is also going to be revealed, or he's being revealed as the finalizer of the process. He's the Omega. He's the end. Hallelujah. He will make the church his body. Just like Pastor Dimitri said, he will complete his habitation. He's doing the work of building. And he will complete the work. And at the end of it all, he will make the bride glorious. Yeah. He will be glorified in his bride. Yeah. You will be able to tell the bride of Christ from the bride look-alike. Praise God. You'll be able to tell from the chaste bride from the allot church. The season ahead of us, it will be very glorious, because the church, the bride, will be glorified. I say the bride of Christ will be glorified. You know, I love it in Matthew 16, verse 19, when the Bible says, upon this rock, 18 and 19, so I say unto you, for thou art Peter, and upon this rock I say to you, Petros, upon this rock, Petros is a piece from the mass. Petra is the mass itself, the rock. I will build my church. Let's say, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give unto you what? Keys of the kingdom. That what? Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you bind, you lose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. So when the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, it's as him saying, I will complete my church. Yeah. I will consecrate my bride. Yeah. It's a resolve. It's not a suggestion. It's not a proposition. It's a determination. It's a mandate. Whether we like it or not. You know, when you use the word building here is taken from the root word oikodomeo. And the word oikodomeo means to repair, reconstruct, and align with the original prototype. I say that again. To repair and reconstruct and align with the original prototype. Praise God. God is not building a classy church. No, sir. He's not building a church that has a church with vibes. There's nothing wrong being classy. There's nothing wrong understanding the mood of the hour. There's nothing wrong connecting to the culture. You get what I'm saying? But make sure the truth is intact. Make sure the focus and the objective remain in view. Hallelujah. God will recapture the divine prototype. That's the whole essence of the prophetic and apostolic to the church. Amen. And what does the church now become? He says, the gate of hell will not prevail. So that's the quality of the church. He's raising a church that is formidable. He's raising a church that is a prevailing force. Not a church that, you know, there's a church that, you know, let me give some extreme example. Somebody loves God and serving God, pushing, doing the will of God until when she lost her dad. Her faith is broken. And she never recovered. Then something, there's a vacuum. That means we do not have the revelation of death. Because if we have the revelation of death, let me first say this about death. Or should I use the word tragedy? Is it godly for tragedy to happen to Christian? Or should I say, is it ungodly? Or is it an aberration that tragedy happens to Christian? Let's take our example from the early church. The early church was encumbered with tragedy. The reason is because they did not only suffer tragedy that was based on nature or natural disaster or an accident or tragedy that happens as a result of an act of life. In the time of the early church, you could be killed easily for your faith. The emperor executed you. In fact, there came a time Paul said, please don't marry. Should I give you counsel? This is not the word of God. This is Paul speaking. And I'm speaking as someone who has the mind of God. So you can take it as the word of God. It is better not to marry. Because some people got married during their honeymoon. They executed their husband. She began to enter money ministry during honeymoon. And it's not just one, it's all the sisters in the. So I'm counseling you guys, don't marry. So tragedy was so common. And because you see, early church was not the church that don't kill me. No, early church was a church that people glorify death. Simply because they were being killed for their faith and love for God. I watched a movie, you know, my wife and I watched a movie many years ago. It was about, based on history, not the Bible. When Peter was executed, the brethren got the plan by Nero and they whisked Peter away. It was when they were traveling away, out of Jerusalem, that a message in turn came, an interpretation came. The guy that gave the interpretation became the bishop of the church, he became like a lead apostle. I've forgotten his name. When he gave the interpretation, and he said, Peter, you know, I reveal to you how you would die for my name's sake. He said, this is that occasion. So Peter left the remaining brethren that were escaping and went back. And he was arrested and executed. You see, they cherished death because they knew the worth of the gospel. And they cherish the treasure of eternal life. They put eternal life side by side with this transient present life and realize that this is not worth it in the grand scheme of things. Living in this life is not worth it. We need to go back and reclaim the ancient landmark. We need to go back, praise God, and contend for the faith, praise God, that the fathers once held dear. That's the problem with us now. The problem with us is that, you see, some of us are even just touching kingdom truth at the peripheral. And we are now making it object of, how do you put it? Of contention. Because Pastor Faraday, you are not as deep as I am. You cannot see what I see. There are certain level of mystery that I am seeing. You are not there. You are not touching it. They are not touching. If all of you in your church, nobody is touching. So the point is that if you're actually seeing it, you will not be talking like that. If you are seeing it, your conversation changes. If you are seeing it, that attitude shows you're still treating it like the way the world will boast for accolades and their worth. But the only thing that you don't have the accolade, you don't have the affluence, you don't have the influence they have. All you have is your revelation. And you're already boasting. It's the same flesh. Praise God. When we see what this truth meant, life will be totally redefined. So when we say ministry will mean absolutely something else. Absolutely something else. Not pursuit of gain. Not pursuit of accolades. Not renown. Ministry will mean something totally different. You just want to see lives changed. You just want to see people become the bride of Christ. You just want to see the church being daily, consistently prepared, be made ready. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to see the church that is capable of prevailing when the gate of hell come at us. Praise God. If you are the true church, the gate of hell will come at you. You see, when the gate of hell is befriending you, then something is fundamentally out of place. So when the gate of hell come at you, you know how we break down. Then we start defending. We start defending our place. And then before you know it, pride is coming out. Before you know it, you could tell we are protecting our ego. When the word comes at us, how do we respond? Forgiveness. When they throw persecution at us, what comes out of us? Peace. That is the church Jesus declared. And the gate of hell will not prevail. The gate of hell will not define your response. Praise God. You'll be able to hold your own. You see, there's a place when, you see, there's the internal formation. There's a state in which the church becomes internally defeated. There's a place of solace. There's a place of harmony. There's a place of security in God that we occupy and we become insurmountable. We have to find that place. The place of the making of the bride. Praise God. That place where the eyes of our understanding is being daily enlightened. that place where clarity is coming to the understanding of the essence of the power of endless life, where our function, our identity, our ministry right here on earth is being dictated to by the kingdom. Praise God. A place where daily we are dying to the world. The laws by which this Lord, this present order is being dictated and governed has no control over our lives. A daily dying to self. Praise God. That's only when the Lord Jesus said, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And when you look at what the keys of the kingdom is, which is a symbol of governmental authority, that only comes through prophetic access to the mind and the will of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because when we have prophetic access to the mind and the will of God, we will have apostolic alignment. And because that scripture actually means, whatsoever you therefore bind on earth haven't been bound in heaven. So you having the prophetic clarity of what heaven has bound, then you can now do the binding on earth. Praise God. Having the prophetic clarity of what heaven has loosed, then you can now start doing the loosing. So that tells you why the Lord Jesus doesn't do long prayer in the public. Because it's done. He's already aligning with heavens, with the position of heaven. Praise God. So when he comes here, he's declaring what heaven has declared. So the place of prevailing is a place of seeking. The place of prevailing is a place of unveiling. The place of prevailing is a place of hearing. The place of prevailing is a place of knowing. The place of prevailing is a place of unraveling, where mysteries are being unraveled, where the depth of God have been understood. Amen. Where we are internalizing it. Praise God. That's the place of prevailing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love this part. In verse 15, it says, blessed are those who do his commandment, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gate. So there's something about the Eden of God. There are many gates. So there will be many entrances or many entries. Hallelujah. But what determines all of that is the commitment to doing. You see, the summoning to becoming the bride of Christ that is chaste and prepared only resonate with our spirit when we do. Every time the word of God is being proclaimed and the word of God is being revealed, we are receiving the summon of heaven. I'll say that again. Every time the word of God is what? Being proclaimed and being taught. You see, when we think about commandment, let's say commandment. Something should come to your mind. Teaching. Doctrines. Instructions. And the only response is doing. Commitment to doing. You see, I like a word in the Bible, akinim. To akin has two words. It means ultimately obedience or doing. But first, it means application. So when you apply yourself to what God is saying. So it's about the attitude. Praise God. Attitude. And so when Proverbs would teach us, say, my son, akin to my word. So apply yourself to the teaching and instruction of God's word. Then clarity will come and the ability to do. Praise God. That is very, very important. God will be giving us commandment. He's going to be giving us instructions. And Pastor Dimitri used the word fed. We have the right to the tree of life. You see, it is those who feed on the tree of life that become the trees of life. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It is those who you become what you eat. You become what you eat, you become what you hear. If you feed consistently on the tree of life, you would not even know when you will become tree of life. The stature. When you become pillar of eternal life, you wouldn't know. Praise God. You wouldn't know. The only fruit you generate is life. It doesn't matter where you are pressed, hard pressed. What comes out of you is Zoe. The attribute and the nature of God. That's the only thing that spills out of you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what God wants to see trees. God doesn't want believers who lack stamina. Believers who lack sense of identity. Who lack stature. God doesn't want people who can easily be terrorized. He wants people who are stable. Consistent. You know, the Lord Jesus is in his earthly days. He was very predictable. God loves people who are predictable. God loves people that Satan knows. You know, Daniel. He said, if you make this law, if you can make him to make the law not to pray, we will get him. Because I tell you, he is poor, he will pray. He is rich, he will pray. He is in luxury, he will pray. He is in turmoil, he will pray. He will connect to his God. So if you want to catch him, it is a connection with his God. All this nonsense you people are suggesting. Hey, whatever. Let's look at his financial details. You are wasting your time. You will never catch him. Those are stature. You know, some of us will begin to look at it. Lord, why did you take my husband? Tell me. If you don't answer that, I will not be praying. My heart will not be in that prayer anymore. Even though you are not saying it, it's there. But let God answer me first. Why did you take my husband? After we prayed and made all declaration. Let me give us some of our answer. Some of our answer is that you lack faith. Faith is not just ability to hand on to God when you have personal understanding and wit of the matter. Faith is the ability to believe God. Even when in the dark. Praise God. Did I tell you what faith is? No. Should I tell us something about that? This personal revelation God has given. When it comes to certain things. Certain things. Let me first of all say this. We know nothing if it is not given to us. You need to get that clear first. And then the second thing we need to get clear. There are things God will withhold from us. With all your prophetic insight and your prophetic depth. You know what Elisha said? He said, he did from me. God, but he didn't say that, I've been praying for you for the past 10 years, only 1 week that I did not pray that this thing happened. No, I was still praying for you the day it happened. Those are men who love God. He said, God hid it. They know God. God hid it from me. I'm going to still revisit that. I don't know why I'm delving into this, but I believe the Holy Spirit. So God is interested in raising men and women that are trees of life, who have stature, who have stability, who have spiritual stamina. Men and women that are predictable. Men and women that are straight. Praise God. They have internal stature and stability. To have that, you have to die to self. You have to die to human expectation. You have to die to accolades. And you have to come to a place where you are not afraid of man. Because you cherish the fear of the Lord. Then the Lord Jesus went on to say that, but those that are without are dogs, sorcerers, I use the word warmongers, murderers, and idolaters. And whosoever loveth and maketh lie, praise God. So what that simply means is that, so out there, now, you also understand, he's not talking about unbelievers. You know, that's what makes this scary. No, don't get this wrong. Don't say that. Now, let me talk to you about unbelievers. He's talking about the church. Yes, I say, dog? Yes, the church. Yes. That's why they're out. They are, how do you put it? Without. Outside. Outer court. You see, outer court is a place where, as time passes by, carnality keeps growing. Decay and degeneration continues to thrive. That's what makes you know what makes the last day scary? There is an atmosphere that is being created. It is called the spirit of the age. The prince of the power of the air is intensifying the outflow of the spirit of the age. That spirit of the age is sort of, if I could use the word, infiltrated human soul, that will make the spread of decay to grow fast. Dr. Fiala, how do you call when you say cancer spread? Metastasize. That is what sin nature is happening to the soul of man. Under the influence of the spirit of the age. As long as you hold on to the carnal nature, you were not submitting it to the law, then the spirit of the age will feed on it. Yeah. That is that time. And it is scary. So that's why lives will be governed by the spirit of the age. Ministries will be governed by the spirit of the age, and it is already happening. Thousands will be under the clutch of the spirit of the age through church ministry, and homes and marriages. It is scary, but what the Lord Jesus is saying is that In the time of the making of the bride, the time of the adorning of the bride, the vexation and irritation of the Lord is coming against the spirit of the age in the body of Christ. I say that again. In this hour of the adorning of the bride, the Lord's scrutiny, the Lord's irritation and vexation is coming upon, is coming against the widespread and the activities of the spirit of the age. You're going to see it. What God is going to judge, the Lord will be known as a judge in the body of Christ. He will be known, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came with whip. He will come and set things in order.
Amen.
Now, what will he target and eliminate in the body? Dogs. Sexual immorality. Becoming the order of the day. The Lord is coming for it.
Yes.
Sorcery. Sorcery. Witchcraft. More than ever become. It's becoming a vogue. And people are using diabolism as a means to driving ministry in order to achieve success and gather crowd. The Lord's fury is coming.
Amen.
And mind you, it's not just diabolism. Control and manipulation opens the door to witchcraft and sorcery. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Warmongering, sexual perversion, transgenderism. You know, in the church now, there are, I don't know, my wife just stumbled at something. She because she puts a lot of some of our ministry, you know, content on TikTok, she now stumbled on some funny things. So she came to show me one. The pastor David was talking about apostles all over the place now.
Yes,
when you hear some atrocities that is happening there by apostles and among apostles, among themselves, between themselves, they are league of apostles. Things that should not be heard of among unbelievers. And these apostles were having conversation. I don't know. I think one of them recorded it. One way or the other, it leaked. It is shocking. Those apostles are thick unbelievers with mind that is depraved. You will not want to be called into apostolic ministry all your life. If that is what, of course, that's not what. Those are fake. Those are false. False apostles. But mind you, these apostles I'm talking about, they're not like, they are extremely Pentecostal. They sound like we sound. They do things like we do. They probably started genuinely with the call of God. And they have mastered the act. They still retain the act. So that's why if you lack discernment, you are finished. If you just follow the letter and you follow the language, you don't connect to the spirit.
Yes,
these people are apostles perverting the body of Christ. Committing all sort of atrocities unheard of among unbelievers. God is coming. He's coming as not just as peacemaker, is coming with fury. He said, I am, how did he put himself? When he said, consuming fire in the days of the adorning of the bride.
Yes, sir.
He said, he's coming after murderers. Those who murder destiny, who murder visions, and murder souls, praise God. He's coming for them. Idolatry is another thing that is contaminating the body. Other nonsense we call honor. I'm sorry, I'm not, pardon my language. I'm not saying that every honor, there's validity in honoring pastors. You see, those of you that won't honor your pastor, you'll be buying down to some. Don't let me say something wrong. You buy it down to some supposed men of God that have some clout. And you don't minister to your pastors. You don't protect your pastors. Praise God. Hallelujah. The body of Christ has now become a ring of, it's like we become, well, how do you put it? You know those Godfatherism. Where you kiss the ring and leave. Yes, sir. Mafia. Mafia. So you come and practice honor and prostrate to man. Practice honor, roll on the floor for man. Allegiance is not what God shares with man. Praise God. In the days of Ananias and Sapphira, is coming back. And the body of Christ has a way. We are opening certain doors that is not meant to be open upon the church. We do not worship man. We do not worship gifts. We only worship the giver. It doesn't matter how greatly a man of God is used. He is man. He has not become next to God. No man, call no man your father. Call no man your teacher. Call no man your master. You know what the Lord Jesus is saying? You know, do you know Jesus is not saying that you don't have teachers, that God has set over you that you recognize. He's not saying you don't have fathers. You have fathers. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You have father that begat you in the faith. What he's saying is that my presence is not is like having league and club of false allegiance. Where if you don't connect with the reigning connection, the doors will be shut at you. Touching dangerous spots that belongs to the gate of hell. Your soul was saved only by Christ Jesus. Only him has the claim of worship over your life. Praise God. It's an idolaters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those who love and make lies. There's a lot of swindling by twisting the truth, by creating heresies, we lead people into apostasy. Those level of errors. Because these are the last days, and we see them popping up. Praise God. The Lord is coming for them. But what's going to cause the Lord to come for them is we. The adorning of the bride. As long as we are still saying that we want to enjoy life first, all of this thing will continue. As long as we still say, Lord, let me enjoy life first. Praise God. We have to prioritize the preparation of the bride. We have to long and look forward to our oneness with our Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the interesting thing is that because, you see, he's our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
He's our head. And our soul must desire him. I love the way it was presented in verse 16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. And he described himself as the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. First of all, is the root of David. Let somebody say, is the root of David. And we must receive him as the root of David. What that means is that he's the source of the tribe of David. Amen. Amen. He's the essence. Without him, the tribe of David is like every other tribe. We are like any other person. Once you remove him from our lives, we're as ordinary as anybody. Ordinary as a sinner. It makes the difference. So you must understand there is more to you than meets the eye. You get what I mean? There's more to you because of the Lord that is living in you. You are special. You know, there's a man of God, one of the men of God that is making wave, and I like his spirit. Something Lawa. You know, he said something that he was a Muslim. Something revolutionized his life. He just heard that God lives. The Bible said God lives in you when you give your life to Christ. Eh? You mean if I give my life, if I accept Jesus, God will be living in me? He said, do you mean it? So he went to meet somebody he knew is a genuine Christian. He said, as a child of God, where is God? He said, it's in my spirit. Ah! The guy was shocked. He thought it was a special mystery that no. As in, like, you know that God is in your spirit. Yeah. And you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me that God is in your spirit. He said, that's how he gave his life to Christ. Eh? For God to come into my spirit. I want that. But he now then began to discover that a lot of believers don't even know. They don't even know. And I love that. There's more to you than meets the eye. The Lord your God is the root of David. You are a supernatural being. You're not ordinary. You do not succumb to the curses and atrocities of this age. They said that there are household enemies. There are ancestral curses. What concerns you? There may be ancestral curses, but you're not spiritually linked to that lineage.
Amen.
You belong to a different stock. The stock of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob. Amen. The stock of Jesus, who is the seal of the covenant. Hallelujah. Only blessing flows. Curses does not exist in my world. You say you have to be praying some prayer for your children. I don't pray useless prayer for my children. I have conquered it. My daughter, you know, even my son was watching some deliverance and he came to ask me that, why is those evil spirits? He said, the evil spirit is troubling them because they don't know God. They don't have relationship with God. Once you have relationship with God, the spirit of God fills you. Only the spirit of God leaves them. Wow. So that's what I mean. That is it. That's what I want. That just is a relationship with God. The spirit of God flows. So you are the one that will be helping people who are being troubled by evil spirits.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we superimpose our perception of the unseen realities over that which is transient and of the present order. Hallelujah. Now, is the root of Jesse, is also the offspring of David. We need that balance. He is supernatural, he is exceptional, he is powerful, and that is who we are in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we are also offspring of David. You know, when you say that he's the root of David, it is confusing. He's also it means he's a descendant of David. Someone that is already the source, that is also the descendant. He is both divine and human. And we must understand we are insufficient in our self, in our knowledge and competence. So we should not assume absoluteness. So I pray, and the person I preach for died. Therefore, God is not, I'm no more anointed. You are sick. Because you have messed up the things of the spirit. So the first problem here, that's why your mind is being assaulted, is because you want people to believe that you are larger than life. You are not larger than life. If you pray for a sick, and God, before you did the prayer, has chosen to take the sick, because you did the prayer, God will not change his mind. I say, God, don't you know? Don't you know you have a name to protect? And God say, I don't have any name to protect. I don't.
To wake up to this consciousness. Come to this consciousness. Journey away from that night and come into this light. Come into this consciousness. Come into this consciousness, because that is the reason, one of the reasons why I put this meeting together, to awaken you into this consciousness. And because I don't want you to be dull when I'm coming. I want you to be awake. I want you to be aware. Be aware. Be aware. I'm speaking to you through my servant to bring you to awareness. Come into this awareness. Come into and stay in this awareness. Stay in this place. Stay in this place. Stay in this place so that you will not be a victim of what I'm coming to correct, of what I'm coming to do. So stay in this place. For you now, I'm bringing words of correction. Before I correct globally, I'm correcting the body at large. But I want to correct you here. So I'm correcting you right now. I'm bringing correction. I'm bringing instruction. Take it and be aligned with me before I come for the body. See you at the Lord.
Let's receive the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, growing up as a Christian, a friend of mine came to tell me about the pain he suffered. That was in the early 90s. But now it's much worse. And of course, it was an established one of the, in terms of growth, in terms of prominence, in terms of influence. one of the biggest ministries and churches in Nigeria. So he told me about the pain he was going through. Then I have a friend that was going through the same pain, relating being in the ministry with the headquarters. But this was the branch in Ibadan, the major branch in Ibadan. So, this elder died of cancer after the church has prayed for him. He didn't survive it. And with the moment he died, all they just noticed was that all the brethren withdrew from the family. They were present in their lives before surrounding them, but the moment he died, they withdrew from the family and they cut off. They did not organize his funeral service. The mom, a deaconess, the dad, an elder. They didn't organize funeral service. They stopped calling. They stopped picking their calls. They cut off completely. They were isolated. And the family went through pain and trauma. You know, the only friends they had were from church. The only brethren they had were from church. And they spent money, spent time, given commitment. They could not find, when they needed solace and healing. The church, it's not that the church was ignorantly absent. There was a deliberate withdrawal to cut off. And initially, they felt judged that God is punishing them. So eventually, they felt. So this brother witnessing this after a while, he felt bad. Because he was then aware some instructions were given. What simply happened? Church prayed for this man and it is not surviving. So it's like, let no, because the only thing that comes out of the pulpit, we pray for the dead and the dead came to life. We pray for the sick came to life. So let it not be heard of that we prayed for this elder and he did not make it.
Yes, so spoil our brand.
You want to spoil our brand. No, one of our brothers, who is abroad, he came. The family belonged to an established church. The mom had a very severe illness. My family belongs to an established church. They've been in this church for decades. He grew up in the church. Pastor Shea was there. We went to organize the burial together. When he came around, the church refused to bury. We have to travel outside Lagos all the way to the estate, where Ife, to go and conduct the funeral ceremony and strengthen the family and be there for them. Because in our own case, they said she should stop receiving medical care. The pastor, if I'm right, is probably a PhD doctor. So he's not an illiterate. He's not an illiterate church. They said they should stop receiving care. If they will not obey instruction, we will. So when should I say we're not burying them? Now, all of this is because for you as an individual, it may not be at that level. But let me tell you, want things that will help you. You are of the offspring. The reason why God still say you are the offspring of David is so that you will not think all that is about you is the root of David. You are not absolute. You will come to a point, you will be absolute. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
We are coming to a point where as he is in heaven, so are we on earth. Until that time comes. So that time, when you're about to pray for someone, if the Lord says, you know what? The prayer you pray is different. The prayer you pray is that God give your son strength and the family to bear this loss when this person is still. I don't know how many of you want to pray that prayer for the family. Or say that, Lord, this fellow that is sick, Lord, we're praying for the dad of these wonderful children, the husband of this lovely wife, that as you prepare to whisk him to heaven, give them the heart to bear. You say that, what can I will reject, we bind Satan. He said, we bind go back to the sender. That's what we'll say. But that's the prayer you'll be praying when the perfect comes. In such situation, if that is what heaven is praying. You see, every time when you say in the name of God, I bind you the spirit of death because Christ Jesus has conquered you. In certain situations, it is presumptuous. When heaven have sanctioned somebody's departure, I don't care what you bind. You can't bind it. There is more to life and existence than your personal faith.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Praise God. So, but you know, there are times God will reveal it to us. There are times we'll be more conscious of that than the odd feeling and desperation to have, which is a good thing. Our loved ones survive pain. You get what I'm saying? That's a good thing, to have our loved ones survive pain. God wants that for us. But there's coming a time you'll be more conscious of the vibration of heaven's resonance. So it's a, Lord, I just pray you will strengthen your son. I've done that prayer once. And the Lord allows me to pray it out. I will say it twice. The second person was my godfather. That the dentist, Pastor Monica, was there. When the Lord took him. He was ill and arty. All he had was malaria. And he asked me to come. Because the Lord revealed to me. So he wants Pastor Monica and I to come and pray with him as he goes on the journey. And he said that he's physically weak. So I should pray for his health and then pray for the journey. He was battling with malaria. And as we're praying, the Lord asked me to call the children. So the children that were present. And the Lord said to me that Moses, my father, my servant is dead. And it is time for Joshua to take up the battle. Daddy Denton, you are Moses. Children, you are Joshua. Your time and hour has come. He just went to sleep. I didn't pray about the Spirit of God took over the atmosphere. It was obvious that this is God. So he didn't travel again. In less than 1 week, he went to be with the Lord. Now, when I finished the prayer, I called the children and he began to counsel them. Wow. That I will not always be there. Note this. And within 1 week, got to him. Now, in not every place, you will leave that place without being assaulted. I said, I will call you to come and pray healing prayer. I'm praying that. You know, the church is always going through from one pendulum to the other. You know, that the days of Kenneth Hagin, when it was, healing was no longer common. Those John Wesley, any small illness like this, they are praying people into their grave. So when Kenneth Hagin's pastor came to pray for him, I said, Father, Lord, your son, give him there. And Kenneth Hagin is reading the Bible that by the stripes of himself took by Kenneth Hagin, and he could not speak. His heart deformity is so bad. So as they are praying the prayer, he was speaking, but nobody heard him. I said, I don't want to die. The Bible says, but nobody praise God. But that was also presumptuous, because they didn't have a clue to what God says concerning healing. Praise God. If we, that is it, we have to be exact, we have to be accurate, and that means we have to be prophetic and also fearless.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
But in some cases, wise. Because everything you so you, in some cases, you just will not strengthen the family. God be with your people. They will never be alone. Let them be reading in between line. Praise the Lord. But you know something, God doesn't make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. I have a family as friends. The dad was just whisked away by God. And the family was in pain, because nobody could function without him. Nobody could exist without him. And a mother in the Lord was telling the Lord that, God, why will you do this? Especially because of the children. These children, they cannot survive without their dad. And they can't live anywhere else. The Lord said to him, who told you I did not take him because of the children? It just took 2 years to be obvious that God actually took him because of the children.
Wow.
The children, he had become a principality.
Wow.
Because of his affection, because the children lost their mom when they were young.
Oh.
His affection for the children. He has become a principality. It's like you saying that my children will never suffer in life.
Yeah.
They will not go to school. They will not. So you now put. The moment God took them, the children started flourishing. They started flourishing. There is more to God and more to life than your sentiments. Yep. When we know him as the root and offspring of David, he will emerge as the day star. It's the bright and morning star. What that means is that he will orchestrate and command the unfolding seasons of our lives. What that means is that, you know, morning star appears before brightness. Before it's bright, that's where morning star appears. When it's the dawn, it's a star that leads the way. It's actually Venus that leads the way from the dawn into brightness. When we know him as the root and offspring of David, you will not be afraid of gloom and obscurity. In the presence of gloom and obscurity, you will thrive. You will survive. You know why? Because you have allowed him to lead the way. We will know the Lord as our captain.
Amen.
He is the one leading. We're not moving an inch without him going ahead of us. Without hearing his voice. Without sensing his presence. Praise God. We're not moving an inch without the Lord leading the way. And that is how we're going to fight this war. And that is why we will succumb the works of darkness. Hallelujah. So 17, we're going to end it there. It said, And the spirit and the bride say, come. He's come to us as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first as the last. He's come to us as the root and the offspring of David. All of that is to pave the way. Get rid of every impediment and obscurity so that the bride will embrace the budding of his appearing. Hallelujah. And that is the emphasis of heaven. Embracing the budding of his appearing. He said, let him that hear say, come. Are we going to cherish the budding of his appearing? We don't joke with hearing. We don't what? We don't joke with hearing. We have to cherish the hearing of his voice. The hearing of his words. We must cherish what? The hearing of his voice. The hearing of his words. Because it's only when we hear his words and hear his voice that is the sound of trumpet resonating in our soul. There is no appearing of the Lord if the trumpet does not what? Sound. And you know, the Spirit is always uttering the... You remember this revelation started with what? Let him that has here, let him what? Hear what the Spirit... So the problem is not whether the Spirit is sounding the trumpet. The problem is if we are hearing. What is the purpose of hearing? Huh? It's to do. It's to do. So we understand kingdom principle. We apply ourselves to what we hear. So that at the end of it, we will do it. We're energized by the Spirit to do it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you know the things of the Spirit, it works. When you are faithful in a little, more will be given you. You see, when you embrace what God is saying and you're establishing it, it will create the thirst and yearning for more. You are not the one doing it. It is the Holy Spirit working in you. Isn't that so? That thirst. You see, you have to treasure spiritual thirst. We have to what? You may lose your money. That could be the money is a lot, especially in this economy. In this economy, you don't just gamble, you don't experiment businesses. Let me try whether, in those days, so that with pure water work, you put some money there, it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, try Philly Station. But this is not the time to do that. You have to be more strategic. You do your own work. Praise God. But that having said, no matter what you lose, if you have not lost your thirst, what you lost is not invaluable. If we lose our yearning for God, that is a big loss. Because it does not appear to us if we do not thirst. Because he only serves the water of life to people who thirst. Hallelujah. It is the water of life that does the washing, that does the cleansing. It is the water of life that opens the eyes of our understanding. What the water of life does is that it consecrates us so that we will start desiring his will. Let somebody say his will. You know, when you come to a place where your will, you now will what he wills. That's a powerful place to be. You know, recently Pastor Shea was teaching us at the Governing Church our epignosis that when Elijah prayed, let me give us the same test. When Elijah prayed, what Elijah prayed, was it his own will or God's will? Okay, tell me, what's the answer? You see, when you ask people questions like this, they will not now answer anything. Was it his own will or God's will? So, does somebody want to give it a try? Huh? Was it his will or God's will? Eh? I don't like Pastor Brother Femi answering, because we go and tell the answer. We are supposed to. There's a process that's supposed to lead to the answer. It's now going to tell us. It's not objective now. He said the will as. So if you say the will of God, you are ultimate. You are somewhat right but wrong. If you still say Elijah's will, you are still wrong. But not wrong, not totally wrong. But the place Elijah got to is not the place where you and I are. Lord, your will is, yes, no. Ah, what's God say? No, yes. No. Elijah was more preoccupied with laying down his will. He's not in a haste to pursue his will. He has so tamed and trained his will that his will does not respond to flesh. His will now craves after the will of God. So Elijah's will now wills God's will. That's why the Bible tells us Elijah is a man of light passion. You know, when Elijah spoke, people think that is audacity. It is audacity that comes from the place of dying. Dealing. When he said there'll be no rain for 3 years except by my, he didn't say except by the word of the Lord. He said except by my word. But yet that word is Dabah, which is the word of the Lord. So the only thing that has happened, my word, you see, the word of the Lord has become one with my word. So his will and my will are now one. There's no conflict. That is where God is taking the bride to. He said, whoever wills, that is it. Whoever what? Wills. Let him come. It's only those whose will, the will of God has been entrenched in their will. That is where he's taking us to. Let him come. Whosoever will. So when you say whosoever will, it's not like, wait, now God is making up open invitation. Anybody can start. That's no. There are protocols, there are procedures. All this we have gone through. The bride has gone through all this. She has now gotten to a place where she's willing the will of God. She's constantly aligning with the will of God. A natural response, a default, is alignment with God's will. Whoever will, let him come. That is the place of the alignment of the bride with the Spirit. And that is where the Lord is taking us to. Amen. That is when the bride will be glorified.
Words has spirit. Words has life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed!